Welcome to Nightlife, the first hour.
So, if you are in a relationship, how did you meet your partner? Was it a dating site or an app? Were there mutual friends, happenstance, a serendipitous bumping into someone? Or was there a professional third party? Tonight, I do want to dive into that world of professional matchmaking. I know it seems like dating apps are just dominating the modern dating scene. There is a thriving industry dedicated to helping people find love the old-fashioned way. Linda Prescott is the founder of Ideal Introductions in Brisbane. She has spent years connecting singles and I would say has countless success stories. Maybe the odd disaster story in there as well. We'll all find it out. Linda, welcome to Nightlife.
Welcome. Thanks for having me, Nick.
As always, lines are open. If you want to have a question for Linda or want to join the conversation, it's 1-300-800-222. That text line is 0467-922-702. Linda, start me off. When did you get involved in the industry?
I'm 55 and I've been in the industry for 32 years. So I was 23. I was very, very young. And now we've got Australia's largest agency. So we sort of dominate the whole sort of Southeast Queensland region. So I've been doing it a long time. Actually, I was at a wedding this afternoon, which was lovely.
But how did you actually get started? What tipped you into this role?
Oh, okay. Well, I think everything happens for a reason. I was working at a company as a PA to a managing director, and I've been there about 6 years. Anyway, I didn't want to be there anymore. And one of the people that worked there knew a gentleman that owned an agency in Sydney and Melbourne and was opening one in Brisbane, and he needed someone to sort of run the Brisbane office. And so I went for an interview and got the job. And within a week, I was down in Sydney for 2 weeks, full training. Back up in Brisbane, running this office, not really knowing a thing about what I was doing. And that's how it sort of all started. That was back in 1993.
When did you know it was something you were going to really enjoy and really settle into?
Well, it was funny because the agency that was down the road, the lady who had that agency, she was trying to poach me for about a year. And then I went and worked for her. And she was actually very good, and she taught me, you know, a lot about matchmaking. And I don't know, it was just something that really came quite natural to me. I find, like, you know, like we've had just over 1,400 weddings that we know of, and but I think it's definitely a gift. You know, some people like setting up their friends. Some people are quite intuitive with what works, and yeah, it's just sort of, you know, I don't know. I just sort of found my feet, and I haven't looked back.
It sounds like you were always a bit of a people person. This was sort of an easy way to move into that.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Even at school, I was setting up friends, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, no, it was just, and I mean, it's a lovely way to, you know, all of our clients we've met personally, so everyone comes in for a face-to-face interview. So it is very much a person-to-person. You're connecting with somebody, you're gauging who they are, you know, who you feel that they're going to suit, what type of person they are, also finding out a little bit about their relationship history, you know, any to see if they've got any patterns so that you can steer them in, you know, perhaps a different direction moving forward.
Linda, how much has the role of a professional matchmaker changed even in your time, just given the technology shifts we've seen?
Well, you know, it's funny because when I first was when I was first a matchmaker, there people would, you know, get yellow page ads. There would be the personal columns in the newspapers. You know, there wasn't online dating at all. And then we were sort of the first. I had a friend of mine who was the sales manager at Oz Stereo, which is B105 and Triple M Radio. And he said to me, oh, Linda, you've got to do radio advertising. And I said, oh, no, you know, it's so expensive. It was like, I think it was like $5,000 for the month back then. I was like, oh, my God, it's so expensive. What happens if it doesn't work? And anyway, so, okay, we did it. And within the first ad on radio, our phones rang. And it was like, oh, my God, this is crazy. So because we were the first agency that, you know, well, in Brisbane that advertised, and then all of a sudden we were getting all these people that hadn't really considered coming to an agency before, you know, they hadn't, you know, been, you know, looking in through the personals or the yellow pages. So they were just hearing an ad on the radio that, you know, and our catchphrase was single, single and sick of it, you know. And so all of a sudden you'd get these, and we still actually use that catchphrase today. It still connects. But yes, all of a sudden all these people came in. He said to me, oh, you've got to do Triple M then. I've gone, oh, no way. You know, it's so expensive. And then all of a sudden we did Triple M, and then it was just, we dominated the market. And then we did Nova, then we did ABC Radio, and then all of a sudden, because when I first was in the industry, there was about 8 agencies in Brisbane alone, decent sized agencies. And so we've been the only one probably in Southeast Queensland for about 10 years now. And because we just sort of dominated through radio. And then all of a sudden you got internet dating that came around. And internet dating was actually really good because it made it socially acceptable to come to an agency. Whereas back in the day, you know, people wouldn't talk about it. You know, they were too embarrassed. You know, oh my God, you must have bad social skills or all that kind of stuff. And so once the internet came, it was brilliant for us. And everyone was talking about going online. So people would talk about going to agencies, and it was all very acceptable. And whereas now the turn with dating apps is, it's, you know, well, there's a lot of people on there for a lot of different reasons, I'll put it that way. And so there's been a big shift back to, you know, coming to, you know, and, well, it's sort of like an old-fashioned way of dating, but with a modern twist, because, you know, we meet everyone face-to-face. So it is sort of old school, but I don't know, people, they're wanting that face-to-face connection again. I think online's quite transactional.
I hadn't even considered that there'd been so much stigma before things like dating websites, before dating apps kind of came out and said, no, it's okay to do this.
Yeah, no, there was. There was a big stigma about it. We used to be in Elizabeth Street, and we were on the main, you know, thing, and we had the sign, and people would get embarrassed if somebody saw them walk in the door. Like even friends that were visiting, you know, coming up, so like, oh, my God, did anyone see me walk in? Whereas now, you know, it's actually it's an intentional way to date. So people, if somebody comes to an agency or a forum like us, you know, it gives them credibility that they're actually serious about finding the right partner.
Do you think people's expectations of what a relationship should look like have shifted in your time?
I think so. I think, you know, men and women are very different. And I think a lot of the time, you know, people have these expectations that are really quite unrealistic, you know. And I have 3 matchmakers that work with me, and we always chat to someone over the phone first just to get a little bit of an idea of who they are, you know, what they feel is going to suit them, so that we can see if they're in the right headspace. Because, you know, if somebody's not, you know, they'll turn around and say, well, I know, you know, because we'll say, so what are a few characteristics that you think are really important to you and a new partner? And like, for example, if you were single, what would you say?
Oh, that's a really good question.
I know.
Oh, no. No, don't put me on the spot. I can't even think.
No, but the fact that you can't think is brilliant. Okay, because what it means is that you're open-minded, whereas when somebody is, you know, has this massive wish list, they'll turn around and say, well, I know what I want. They've got to have 2 degrees, be 6 foot, earn this much money, live within a 30-minute radius, and you're like, oh, my God, that is a big list. You know, what happened to being just, you know, being intelligent, having good stability, a good career, you know, well-presented, you know, happy or kind, you know, all those kinds of things. And so I think what's happened is a lot of people go online now and it's very transactional, and they've got to remember that you're actually wanting to meet a person. We don't have this machine that, you know, we can put in all the stats and out pops this person, you know. So, but I think, you know, we get, by the time somebody comes to us, if they make it through our front door, you know, after having a phone call with us, one of my matchmakers, we know that they're a good person, you know, they have realistic expectations, and, you know, they're in a good headspace for dating. And then we meet them face to face, and Probably 90% of the time, you know, we still think that by the end of the interview.
I'm Nick Healy. You're with me live and around the country on Nightlife. We are chatting with Linda Prescott, professional matchmaker. If you've got a success story you'd like to share, or maybe your relationship is the result of a setup, I'd love to hear from you. 1-300-800-222. Nice little text in from Deb on the Gold Coast saying, I met my second husband through a chat program at the end of the 90s. Back looking for a new relationship now after a 20-year marriage. Not easy on any of the sites at all. And I think, yeah, there'd be a few people who'd be able to commiserate with that one. Linda, walk me through the process. I've wandered through the door. I've made it through. I've tucked all my bravery in. I've gone through. Where do we start?
Okay, so we've had a chat over the phone. You've passed the phone to us. We've invited you in. It's an hour and a half consultation, free consultation. And now what happens in that time is I will explain our process. Like we're very much about old school dating. So, you know, the men have to make the phone calls, plan the dates, actually ask the ladies out. And then, but in saying that, prior, when we match you, we have phoned the lady first. We've told her all about you. She's got the choice whether she'd like to meet you or not. She'll generally say yes, though, because we've done the groundwork. So she said yes. Then we ring the gent. Guys are easy. They just normally say yes. And then you would give her a call at a suitable day and time, maybe 7 or 8 of an evening. Now, she knows you're going to call her and ask her out, and you know she's going to say yes. So the scary part's sort of half over, and the guys will generally take the ladies out for a lunch. We don't tell the guys they've got to pay for the lunch, but they generally do. And then after they meet, everyone has to complete a private feedback and evaluation report. So, you know, that way you know, or we know, whether you'd like to see that person again or not and why. There's 10 strategic questions, and so we can look at that and say, yep, we're hitting the mark here, here, here. Oh, this person's got a concern. And then we might go back to, you know, the person that you had a date with, ask extra questions, and then come back to you, and then you decide whether you'd like to have a second date or not. So there's sort of that third person, because sometimes people make assumptions that aren't true. And if you're doing something on a date that is stopping you getting to a second date, you're going to know what that is. So it's quite structured, but it works really well.
In that initial kind of, here we go, Nick, you're going to meet so-and-so, here's her profile, have a look. What are you looking for? What are you taking to determine that we're compatible?
Got you. Well, the thing is, the way the male brain works, you have to have a level of attraction to start. You know, a lot of women will say, oh, men are shallow, you know, they go for looks, but it's not that you're shallow at all, but that's just how the male brain works. So there has to be a level of attraction to start, whereas, so we know that that's an important factor. We also, you've got to have similar values and a little bit of a similar outlook and lifestyle. And then if you can pull all that together, you know, that's what's going to give you a shot at longevity. And it's funny for a man, and, you know, I always get crucified sometimes because I'm very honest with what I know. And it's just because I say that this is what I see, it doesn't mean that these are my beliefs. It's just what I see every day. So for a man, attraction is on, he looks at a lady's face, okay? So, and if she has... men like femininity. They don't like, you know, over the top. But if a lady doesn't appear to have, you know, put on some makeup, done her hair nicely, or, you know, dressed a little bit feminine, the men notice it. You know, they do. And also, it's not that the men want slim ladies, but they want ladies that are fairly healthy, you know, reasonably in shape. That's another thing that they like. And as I said, presentation, whereas women are different. You know, if a guy is quite successful and he is, you know, in his career, financial, you know, that is attractive to a woman. Height is attractive to a woman as well, and presentation. So a woman doesn't look at a guy's face. He can be pretty ordinary, but if he's presented really well, you know, nice haircut, smells good, dresses nice, then that's quite appealing for her. So what a man thinks is attractive, you know, overall is very different to what a woman does. And then men and women get confused because a woman will look at what she finds appealing in a man and think, well, I've got all that, so why doesn't he find me appealing? But it's just men and women think differently. So we have to take all those things into account when we match. But what also has to work is where someone is on their relationship journey. So, for example, you might be 6 months out and, you know, so, you know, you're looking to take baby steps, you know, whereas you might have somebody that's, you know, 2 years out or 5 years out. And if somebody's 5 years out, if you give them somebody needy or smothering, they'll run a mile because they're just, you know, looking to take it, you know, slowly. So where people are at and how people date is also, you know, something that we need to take into account when we match as well.
Linda, hold the thought for a bit because I've got a couple of calls that have come through and you can join the conversation, 1-300-800-222. Daryl in Pakenham. Daryl, welcome to Nightlife.
Thank you for taking my call. What an intriguing subject it is there. I've been married for 49 years and I remember my now mother-in-law asking me, what on earth did I see in her daughter and why would I want to marry her? And what you said about looks is absolutely right. I fell in love with her. I went up to her because she was drop dead gorgeous. When you're in a room and you're looking around, you don't look at the person that you find the least attractive. You actually look for the person who's most attractive. So what you said there, I concur with. And the other thing is also is when I'm talking to men, if you can't look after your own life and if you can't have a bit of control on that and have a bit of physical responsibility, how can you get a woman to want to invest into your life, I would say to them there. Now, the thing that I do want to ask, though, is how do prenuptials work in this situation? Is it when they get together or do you get guys or do you get girls are worried about losing half because they've been through that and they've been bitten, once bitten, twice shy? I wonder what your thoughts are on that.
Linda, that's a really interesting one. I mean, it's probably a bit ahead or a bit later down the track from what you're doing.
Well, no. We have clients that come in and a lot of people have gone through settlement, so they've lost quite a bit of money. And the clients that come to us are sort of your semi-professional, professional, self-employed. So, and I mean, you know, everyone knows that the men lose in divorces, you know, sorry, all you women out there, but generally speaking, of course, you know, the men will, you know, lose more than 50% generally. So if they've come out of a marriage and they're in rebuilding stages, you know, we're very, you know, careful to match them same. And you know, you get ladies as well that have, you know, gone through and they've worked a lot as well and they've lost money as well. But if you can get two people that have both lost half of everything and then you're meeting people that are the same, then you can get back to 100%. But if I always look at it and if I see that, you know, for example, a man's come in and he's, you know, in rebuilding, there's no way that I'm going to match him with somebody that doesn't, you know, doesn't have a lot of assets because if that doesn't work out, then he's going to be back to 25% instead of 50%. But I think prenups, I would absolutely do one. I've been with my husband 27 years, so we don't have one. But if I had lost half my money or a big chunk of my money, I would absolutely do a financial binding agreement moving forward. And I would say before you move in together, you would definitely need to do it. And if somebody's not prepared to sign it, that's your answer.
That is actually amazing. And we've lost Daryl, unfortunately, before I got to ask him, what did you say to your future mother-in-law when she asked you that question? What was your response to it? You could text me on 0467 922 702. Vicky in Coburg, you had a friend acting as a matchmaker, did you?
Well, yeah, my friend Anne-Marie was this natural, intuitive sort of matchmaker, and she matched four of her different friends, and So these two different couples ended up getting married and the marriages didn't last. But anyway, she used to say to me, oh, you and this guy would get on really well. You should meet him, another one of her friends. And it must have gone on for about 2 years. And then one night we were at the pub and this guy happened to be there. And that was the guy she'd always been saying, you get on really well. And anyway, this was 1976 and we're still together.
Vicky, that's lovely.
Isn't it just? So on our anniversary when we met each other, I always make sure I ring her and say thanks.
Oh, that's really sweet. At least you remember that as well. I love stories like that, Linda. They're gorgeous.
Well, do you know what as well? Like sometimes, like I match, you know, very, very intuitively. And when somebody comes in, I meet them. I just have, I go in there and I just have a great conversation. I go off in tangents and I just really get to know somebody, because if I get who they are, then I'll be able to think, oh, you'd be so great for so-and-so. And I think that's what, you were talking about with your friend, is your friend got who you were. She got the guy, and then she's like, oh my God, I think you two would be great together. And I think, you know, sometimes when people know each other, they do have that intuitive feeling about that people would get on really well. And I think the getting on really well is the basis to any relationship, whether it's a working relationship, a friendship, or a love relationship. So I think, but it can be funny though, because sometimes friends have rose-colored glasses and they're like, oh, but you're lovely and you're lovely, so you should be together. And then you'd meet the person and you'd think, why would you even think that I'd like that person, you know? But it's because of the rose-colored glasses. So it can work either way.
Daryl, you're back. What did you say to your prospective mother-in-law when she said, what do you see in my daughter?
Well, that's a very good question that you ask. I got on very well with my then father-in-law. Unfortunately, he's passed away. And she did say to me a few weeks after we'd announced her engagement, can you give me one good reason why you'd want to marry my daughter? And I didn't say anything because I knew she wasn't particularly happy with me there. And I didn't say anything. And she said, no, see, you can't even give me one good reason on why you'd want to marry my daughter. And I said, well, I can think of one. And as she said that, as my mother-in-law said that, my now wife walked past and she was wearing leotards and all that. And I said, well, it looks like she's got a great ass. And she absolutely flipped out. And her father, who I didn't see there, turned around and said, well, I suppose you're right in that. So it was that there. And we just then we went to the gym after that.
Daryl, very unexpected, but I'm glad we got that story in the end. Thank you. 1-300-800-222. Linda, you've answered half of this. Led had texted in earlier saying, two questions to Linda. Is she in a relationship and totally crushing it? Has been answered. Absolutely, yes. Follow up, does she cringe at the movies where the professional third party sets up great couples but can't find love themselves?
Do you know what? I watched my husband actually, because I'd had a heap of clients say to me, you've got to watch The Materialist. And so I was telling my husband about it last week. So he found it on Prime and we watched it the other night. And I loved it. I loved it. But yeah, no, it's funny. Normally, old school matchmakers all marry clients. That's what happens. You know, if you go back, you know, all the old, because we used to have an agency in Sydney twice. We had one in Melbourne as well. And all the old school matchmakers, like my husband was actually my next door neighbour. That's how I met him. And yeah, together 27 years, we've got a 19-year-old son as well. But yeah. I love those movies and I love those stories. But, yeah, just because you can find, it's like that whole thing, do as I say, not as I do myself. And so you do, you get a lot of people that are happy to set people up, but they're hopeless in their own lives.
I love that. Keep these calls and texts coming in. Linda Prescott, professional matchmaker. I've got a few more questions myself, but join the conversation. Did you get set up? How did you meet your partner? I've got a lovely one in here saying, I met my husband in 1994 at Transformers nightclub in Brisbane. I used to work with his friend that he was out with. He introduced us both and we hit it off straight away. 31 years on, we are still together. 1-300-800-222 or texting on 0467-922-702. I've got a question. Linda, is there a particular type of person that you expect to see coming through your door? Are you sort of describing to me very busy professionals, but is it more of a mix?
Oh, you know what? These days, I thought we get a lot of self-employed people. Like, I guess with the guys, you get a lot of, for women, it's education and health. That's our most common professions. For guys, you get a lot of project managers, a lot of tradies, but the tradies that we sort of get are more your self-employed tradies. A lot of people are just busy and I guess men come to us because it's easy and women come to us because it's safe, you know? So, because I think there's a lot of, I would say 40% of the men that we get are referrals because they knew, you know, their mate knew someone that came in. Because I think, and we get long-term committed people, like, for example, 85% of our clients, their parents are still together or were together till passing. And if you grow up in stability, then you will crave stability as an adult because we mirror our childhood relationships as adults. So if you've had that stable upbringing, you'll want stability later on in life, which can be a double-edged sword because it can mean that you stay in a relationship longer than you should because you're not a quitter. But those type of people will come to us. So we don't get the people that have had 10 partners. We get the people that have had maybe one, two or three serious. So it's stable. A lot of people that have had stability.
I had a question in from Dave, and I'll paraphrase a little bit here. But he says, are there people who come to you that are basically look like they'll have no hope, people you have to say no to?
That's hilarious. I did have a guy, and I'm sorry to all you people out there that need to go to the dentist, but I did have a guy that turned up and he had no front teeth. And I was chatting to him, and he had obviously mastered the way to talk so that I couldn't tell that he had no front teeth. And then I don't know, I said something funny and he laughed and he had a great laugh. And then all of a sudden I noticed he had no front teeth. I'm like, holy hell, what am I going to do with this guy? Because I can't match him, because if I introduce him to one of my ladies, I'll get a complaint. And I know that's superficial, but it's reality. So I said to him, oh, so what happened? He said, oh, my teeth fell out. And I'm like, yeah, right. No, I get that. I'm like, okay, so do you think, I noticed that when you laughed and you sort of covered your mouth, I said, did you feel that you know, might want to get your teeth fixed before you start dating? And he's like, oh, no, I'll probably get them done later on, you know. And I must have had that look on my face. I'm not a very good actress. And he said to me, he said, what, so you won't introduce me the way my teeth are? And I said, well, it just would limit your dating pool quite dramatically. And he said, so do your women wouldn't want to meet me? And I said, well, my women just kind of assume that the guys that I'm going to match him with have got all their front teeth. And anyway, I said it really nicely, but anyway, he got up and stormed out. But I thought, you know, if you're, and this goes for everyone out there, no matter how you're dating, you've got to put your best foot forward, you know, whether it's you need a haircut, you know, if you're guys, you've got to trim your nose hairs, your ears hairs, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, you've got to put your best foot forward. So, that particular guy I couldn't help, unfortunately.
That is unfortunate. Linda, thank you. Who's on the line? I've got Vicky in Stanhope. Vicky, tell me about how you met your partner.
G'day, Nick. How are you going? Nice to you of night and a morning.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. I met my husband, my late husband, Bruce, in 1978, and he was 42, turning 42, and I was 23, and we were married almost for 44 years. We were together for 46 years, and everyone said, oh, you're crazy, it won't last, it won't last. Well, guess what? We proved everybody wrong.
You proved everybody wrong. How did you meet, Vicky?
I'd had a bit of a blow up with my ex at the time, or my partner at the time, and so I put my son and myself in the car and drove down to Venus Bay to my sister's van, and he was staying there with them for holidays, and we went back, and he said to my brother-in-law, because we were living next door to him with his mum, he said, do you think your sister-in-law would go out with me? And he goes, I don't know, you've got to ask her. So he knocked on the door and he said, would you please go out with me? And I said, sure, no worries. I don't even know why, but anyway, I did. And we went to the trots at Mooney Valley and he was bruised black and blue because we won every race. He said, I'm going to marry you. I said, hang on a minute, we've only been together 5 minutes, and sure enough, he married me in 1980. We married in 1981, so there you go.
Vicky, I love that.
It was a true marriage of love and story, and I mean, he was a very sick man last year. He had dementia and that, but you know what? You love him no matter what.
It's a hard thing to go through, though, Vicky, it is.
Oh, look, it was traumatic. I looked after him for about 3 years before. And then we had to put him into a nursing home. But I'll tell you what, it is hard.
Yeah.
But you don't give up. You don't give up. You can't give up.
Well, not with someone you love, not with someone who's been with you for so long, Vicky.
I know, and I've got him, actually, I'm in my kitchen right now and I have photos everywhere of him, right above my kitchen table, and he's just with me everywhere. And, you know, I couldn't have asked for a better husband at the time. I was married before that, domestic violence. I thought I'd never meet someone else nice, and I did, and I was very blessed, very blessed.
You should be really pleased. And, Vicky, thank you for sharing that. I absolutely love that. Linda, I mean, a big age gap. Someone else had texted in, a few people saying, you know, do you worry if people are two very different religions or anything like that? I mean, are these things that you take into account?
It's hard because age thing is, a lot of people these days, you know, over 50, they'll phone up and they'll say, oh, you know, I don't, the women, for example, they'll say, well, look, I don't want to meet anyone older than myself. And traditionally, men want to meet younger, women want to meet taller. It's just always been the way. And so, you know, what happens is sometimes you'll get the ladies that go online, and let's say you've got a 60-year-old lady and she's not been online on the apps, and she's been, you know, the guys that are in their 40s are attracting to these ladies and they're having sex with these ladies. Even though these guys have no intention of having relationships with these ladies, they're interacting with them and having relations. And then what happens is these women then think that's their bar. You know, I can get guys that are in their late 40s, even though these aren't guys that are actually wanting to have relationships with them. So then what happens is the guys that are in their age range are missing out, and the women are also missing out because they then don't have a realistic expectation of the type of person that they can have. So I think my belief is that if you're a 60-year-old woman, you probably need to meet 57 to 67. If you're 67, you know, it's a healthy 67. And, you know, so I think a 10-year age range is pretty good. But I think as well, like, you get some people that are very young for their age and you get some people that are very old for their age. So, you know, the person, if you're a very active person, healthy, you know, quite youthful, take a lot of pride in your appearance, then you can expect that. But I think when women assume that they can get the younger, and also men, you know, sometimes they say, oh, you know, I want 10, 15 years younger. Well, that's never going to happen. You know, that if a guy wants 10, 15 years younger, it's generally because his ex-wife has left him for someone richer or younger. So that's why men want that. But when women want it, it's generally because they feel they've been online and they've been, you know, being attracted for false promises, is what I say. So I think people need to be respectful of age. I think religion is a thing, like, you have to, I think values go a long way. So, you know, you do get people with different religions, and you've got, you just have to have somebody that's got, you know, whether it's Western values or non-Western values, you know, but that they have to align, because long term it is going to make a difference.
I think what you were saying before about the age too, and some of that disappointment goes to that transactional nature of so many relationships that you're seeing at the moment. Linda Prescott is a professional matchmaker. 1-300-800-222 if you want to share some of your thoughts, some of your own success stories maybe. I've got Dee in Melbourne on the line. Dee, welcome to Nightlife.
Oh, hi guys. Thanks for having me. I love the show, by the way.
Thank you. We love hearing that. I'm not going to lie.
It keeps me company on my drive home after work.
Tell me, have you been dating a little bit, have you?
I have, and I'm a success story with the online dating app. I'm in my 50s, and I was divorced in my late 40s and thought I would never meet anyone else ever again. And I actually met someone that I'm still in a relationship with now, nearly 4 years later. And we're very happy. And we don't live together. And we go from house to house and work around each of our grown children. And we're very happy. I think having some experience with the online app for a year or two, I can really understand why some people totally don't want anything to do with them, and I've had pretty bad experiences with them, just with I don't know, men lying, just wanting sex, that kind of thing. But if you do come across the right person, and this person that I met, he wanted the same things that I wanted, which is what I know Linda had gone into a little bit about earlier. If you're on the same page, and my thing is same page, same age, same stage, and we were both turning 50 the year we met. And, yeah, we're still together now, and we're both 53 and a half.
Wow.
Yeah, it can work for some people, but you've got to meet the right person.
Meet the right person. Dee, thank you for sharing that. And Linda, it's interesting what Dee was saying, thinking about she'd never meet someone again. I mean, if it has been a while from serious relationships or even just sort of, you know, having someone to go on dates with, it can feel really disheartening.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. Think of it like a job interview as well. If you've gone for 20 job interviews and you're not getting the job, you know, you think, oh my God, you know, what's going on? And that could be, am I going for the right job? How am I presenting? You know, all that kind of stuff. And you've got to look at it for dating as well. And sometimes, you know, you can be wonderful, exactly who you are, but you're just fishing in a bad pond, you know, so, and therefore, you know, you're not going to meet someone. But what I do find lately, I was listening to Dee, what she was saying about they sort of go in between both houses, and I see that a lot lately. It's a bit of a trend that's been happening probably for about the last 4 years, and people sort of, once they hit about 50, you know, they say to me, look, in a perfect world, if I'm in a committed relationship, I would love to spend a couple of days at their house. She spent a couple of days at my house, and then we have a few days apart, you know, and that's what people are really wanting, because people aren't looking for this codependent relationship anymore. They want exclusivity, but they also want to have their own space. And then I guess as they get older, you know, and they need to look after each other, they'll move in. But a lot of people, they're keeping separate bank accounts, they've got their finances separate. And they're having their own independence, but also coming together and having something that's quite special as well.
And I understand that having your own independence is particularly important after a certain age, I think. Very interesting. 1-300-800-222. We've got about 10 minutes until the next ABC News. Now, a few people had texted in before just commiserating with the chap who didn't have the front teeth and acknowledging just how expensive that sort of cosmetic dental surgery can be. Patty's in from Wynyard. Patty, welcome to Nightlife.
Hello, thank you so much. This is the first time, because I have a silent number and I don't think it's been accepted in the past, so I'm so grateful for that.
I'm happy to talk to you. Thank you for making the time.
Oh, that's my pleasure, and you're doing a great job too, by the way, so be aware of that.
Oh, lovely, thank
look,
you.
Look, I think what your guest is saying, I resonate with a lot of it, and I agree with her with most of it. The dating thing I can't relate to, because I've got no intention of dating. But my late husband, he was given a Liverpool kiss by my brother-in-law because he chose... My two brothers were fighting, and he chose the wrong brother to defend. And my brother-in-law stepped in and gave him the Liverpool kiss. So, therefore, his tooth was driven up into his gum, and he looked like he had a tooth missing. But that was one of the endearing parts that I fell in love with. So, he later had that, you know, rectified, of course, but it didn't make any difference to me. It was the man underneath, the man he was, that made the difference for me.
I love that story. The poor old Liverpool kiss, the headbutt. Patty, thank you very much. Patty from Wynyard calling in on that. Linda, we're going to run out of time soon. So I was hoping we could just dive into a little bit of maybe some of your many, many years of advice and wisdom. Just kicking off, what do you think is the biggest mistake people make when they start looking for love?
I think what you've got to do is you've got to look at values. You're never going to find a perfect person, but you can find somebody that you really want to spend time with, you know. So you've got to look at communication. You know, if somebody's not prepared to communicate, you know, early days, they won't communicate later. And if you can't communicate, you're not going to have a healthy relationship. And I think a big thing I hear about is a lot of women come in and they say, oh, you know, I did everything in the relationship. And what it is, men, you know, are quite basic. You know, they're pretty easygoing. They're not a lot of fuss, but the first 8 to 10 weeks of dating are when all the rules are made. So if the woman's getting in there and she's planning, organising, doing all this wonderful stuff, then that the man's going to sit back and that's just going to be the way it is. So you've got to make sure to allow the man to be the man, to plan and do these things. And then that way you've got the back forth where you're both putting in to a relationship, because then you've both got a sense of purpose. When you've got one person that just does a lot and the other person doesn't, it just creates a really big divide. And I think that is a really big thing to be careful of early days, because you want that relationship where you're in there helping each other, doing things together, rather than, you know, being segregated.
That is an interesting one. Hang on, I've got Helen from Surry Hills, and I think Helen's about to ask a question that many people on the text line have been asking. Helen, welcome to Nightlife.
Oh, good evening. Look, I just wondered how much this agency charges for all of these services. I mean, I met my guy at a financial meeting, which was rather gorgeous. He was sitting next to me and he said to me, how long is this meeting going to go for? Because I have to get back to the country. And I said, well, where are you from? And he said, I'm from Echuca and I don't know Melbourne at all. I just came down for the financial meeting at the share brokers here. And I said, well, if you don't know Melbourne and you'd like to know Melbourne, there's my phone number and you can give me a call if you want to have a look around.
Helen's so bold. I love that.
And he gave me a call the next day and he said, I've organised myself for a hotel and I'd love to come and see you. And I had won a dinner at a restaurant in St Kilda Road. And I said, well, I've won a dinner, so do you want to come to the dinner? And he said, yep, I'd love to. And that was 25 years ago. And we're still together. So it worked out beautifully. And he's 14 years younger than me.
That is a gorgeous story. Helen, thank you so much for that. Helen in Surry Hills. Linda, I mean, without getting into full specifics, but what is the ballpark someone would pay for a professional matchmaker? And I guess the other one is, how long might it take to find someone?
Well, it's funny, you know, we've had just over 1,400 weddings that we know of. Mm. And I've had people that have joined three times. I get people that get happy on the first date. So it's quite varied. You know, some people take a few dates to find their feet, you know, us giving them feedback after they go out on their dates so that they know what they're doing that is really great, anything that they're doing that maybe needs tweaking. You know, a lot of people come in that are super confident with dating. They just want to they want to meet through our database because, you know, they know that we've got quality people. So, you know, to come in and like where our memberships, our standard, well, most popular membership is $1,275, and that can be paid off over a 3-month period as well. Mm-hmm. And we're fully legislated as well by government. So Queensland's fully legislated. New South Wales isn't, Victoria is as well. So, you know, you need to, if you're going to a New South Wales agency, definitely look at the reviews first because they're not legislated by government. But the people that are coming to us, it's intentional dating. You don't get people that are looking just to date. You get people that are actually looking for a proper relationship.
Linda, I'm going to let you go in 2 seconds, but there is just one final question that has come through on the text line. I think it's just such a great one. Do women like men who make them laugh?
Absolutely. If you can get, I was giving someone feedback today and she said, oh, he just seemed a bit serious on the date. And I said to him, I said, you think of the word playful. If you can get a laughing, you're halfway there, because smiles go to laughter, goes to banter, goes to flirting. If you've got a guy, he can be pretty damn ordinary to look at, but if he gets her laughing, honestly, she walks away, she feels lighter, she feels she's had a good time, he's made her feel happy. He's actually got a really good chance of making it to date too.
Linda, I cannot thank you enough for taking so much time with us this evening on Nightlife.
You're very welcome. I've had fun.
That was professional matchmaker Linda Prescott from Ideal Introductions, running through the work that she does day to day, but also I think just taking some general looks at her many years of experience and what she thinks makes relationships work, how that spark can begin. And I'm loving all the texts coming in on how people met their partners. Wendy in Tasmania, I've never heard a story like this. Wendy says, I met my partner 18 years ago. He placed an ad on the local shopping centre notice board. My dad was browsing the board, saw the advertisement, took his details, let me know. I thought about it for a long time, then decided to give it a chance. We hit it off straight away. And Tony says, Nick, my cousin arranged a blind date at a ballroom dancing class with a family friend's daughter. We clicked on the blind date and we have now been happily married for over 30 years. We have two adult daughters. Tony, gorgeous story. And Joe said before, I met my soulmate in my late teens. We just gelled. Then his number came up and I lost him to a war that achieved nothing. There is no comparison. Joe, thank you for sharing that.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.